All right, so God's ridiculous provision. So God has provided, in this case, for a widow, and I have a really, really strong sense that we as the church haven't really helped out widows like we should, or those that are single like we should. And this message is important to me. It's important to all of us because we can discover God's blessing in things. But it's specifically important to me because I told you that as I've reflected on my life that, you know, I grew up with only a mom, okay? I only had a mother growing up. And through that time, I was able to see God provide his provision for our family through that difficult time of raising a couple kids on our own. Let's pray. Lord, you are the God that saves and sets people free. Lord, you are the God that provides in significant ways. Lord, a lot of times we disregard how you provide, and we don't think about it, and we don't process it. But God, you are the God of provisions, and we thank you for that. And Father, as we gather here today, I ask, O God, that you will enable us to have our minds illuminated to your scriptures so we'll be able to understand your deep truths that you have for us. God, guide and lead and direct us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a passage of scripture about God's ridiculous provision. And remember, ridiculous doesn't mean, oh, that's ridiculous. Wow. It means ridiculous, like amazing, incredible, abundant. So this ridiculous provision, this abundant, incredible provision that is unexplainable, unfathomable. It's this provision that God, only God could provide in this way. And there's no doubt, no question, there's no doubt that it's God that provided like he did in this particular situation. And let's read it. This is 2 Kings 4, 1 through 2. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." You're probably going, why would a creditor come and take her sons away? Well, we don't understand this in our culture, do we? Because back in this culture, if you were in debt to somebody, guess what? They would take whatever they could get from you, and sometimes it had to do with your children. They could take your children and take your children as slaves, as indebted servants. Imagine being in that predicament. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you are in debt today? No, I said, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Okay, everybody's like, oh, right? Did you know that in the scripture it says this? It says, be in debt to no man. Did you know it says that?
Yes.
It says it right in the scripture. Most Christians are in the hole far deeper than we ever should be, or we never should be in the hole, should we? Now, this is what's kind of unique about this. I'm totally off topic, but I'm on topic at the same time. I got to talk about this a little bit. We have mortgages in our country, and mortgages are write-offs, and mortgages, right? And we'd say that's in debt, but it's really not. We're paying our, it's better than giving somebody else rent, and right? That's how we justify that. It's a tough one, because we're to be in debt to nobody. Credit card debt. There's people sitting in here, I guarantee at least a quarter of you are in credit card debt. Did you know, get yourselves out of debt immediately, the credit card debt, all the stuff, the indebtedness is hindering us from being able to bless people. Did you know that? It is hindering us from being able to bless people. And this widow was so in debt that her children were going to be taken from her. Jewish, from a historical perspective, a lot of Jewish historians and things believe that this widow was Obadiah's wife. So she's likely in her 30s or so, or mid to late 30s. She's got these two kids, and Obadiah, if you don't know anything about Obadiah, you're like, Obadiah, who's Obadiah? Well, he was a prophet. And Obadiah, he took care of 50 other prophets. So a lot of the prophets, you may not know this either, but a lot of the prophets did not have much at all because God told them to do things that were kind of crazy. Like, go talk to this king over here and tell him that he's going to die. And you know what? Go talk to this people group. And even though they're probably going to stone you, speak to them anyway. Go over there and speak vocally about their heathen behavior and speak out against the gods that they worship and tell them that if they don't repent, that they will all be whatever, okay? All different things were had to be spoken of by prophets. And take care of this people group. Obadiah was called out to take care of 50 different prophets. Do you think he had a lot of money? No, because he was taking care of 50 different prophets, right? Even if he worked super, super hard, he was having to take care of 50 prophets. Now, whether this is Obadiah's wife or not, it says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. So this wife, who her husband was a prophet, cries out to Elijah, Elijah, you're not going to believe what's happening. Now, I got to touch on this too. There's something called a kinship redeemer. Have you ever heard of that? All right. Kinship means someone from your bloodline or someone you've taken in as your family. So you have this kinship redeemer. And the kinship redeemer, if one of your family members was murdered for unjustly, they would redeem that. They would come back and they would take care of whatever happened. Or if you're in debt, that kinship redeemer would come and they would pay. They would pay for the debt, or they would come in and they would make it right between you and whatever's going on in your life. This is a kinship redeemer. This is someone that comes in and cares about you and takes care of you. In this case, it appears she did not have a kinship redeemer. She didn't have a kinship redeemer. There wasn't anybody that could take care of her. She was a widow all alone with her children. Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Notice it says his creditor. Whoever this prophet is, whether it be Obadiah or somebody else, he himself was in debt. God doesn't want us to be in debt because we can't experience freedom. We can experience the freedom of the Spirit in many ways, but I want you to take a second, step back from your life a little bit, and look at your life from an outside perspective. And if you're in debt, step back and say, how could that person, who is you, how could they live a more vibrant life if they didn't have debt? Right? What would your life look like if you didn't have debt? What would you experience if you didn't have debt? And some of you don't have debt, and well done. Well done if you do not have any debt. You have been somebody that has been persistent and has been on track and has, or maybe you've just been incredibly blessed and have tons of money and God's blessed you like that. That could be the case. But some of us have made some really, ready for this, stupid decisions in our lives that have put us in debt. Don't raise your hand. Right? Some people, that's good. We have an honest community of faith. I think one of the things I hope that you sense from me is the importance of being open for being able to share who you really are and what you really struggle with. Because if we can't be a community of faith that's real and authentic, what's the point? There's too many masks being put up. There's too much phoniness in the church. I hope you're on board with me when I say, I am not at all interested in being a church that is playing pretend. I don't want to play church. I want to be the church. I don't want to come on Sunday morning just to come and sit in a pew and then leave and not really be changed. I want to be able to come and worship and raise holy hands to the Lord and praise and sing out to God and be a person after God's heart. Every day of the week, every breath that I take, God, may it be a breath for you. May it be one that I am doing what you want me to do with my life, and I'm stepping out in faith, and I'm honoring you with every part of my life, and with my kids, with my family, with my friends, and everything I do. this wife, yeah, she was struggling because of her husband. Some of you wives in here, maybe like Father's Day. Yeah, what a father. He left me and the kids, and you know, you could go on and on, right? About what a terrible dad or husband that guy was or is. But she didn't do that, did she? What she did, she said, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. If you don't know anything about this culture, the boys were the ones that could take care of the mom because the mom couldn't work. Doesn't that sound horrible? But in that generation, ladies were almost looked at as property in many ways. Did you know Christianity came and revolutionized the way women were treated in the society? And you may say, I don't know about that. Start reading and start studying history. You'll discover that Christianity actually brought about freedom, brought about a whole bunch of stuff that you may not even comprehend. But we discover amazing things that took place because of faithful people. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me what do you have in your house? All right. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. Did you get that? You better write that down. Ready? When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. Oh, God, but I want a man that treats me right, God. I really don't. I've heard ladies say that, though. Okay? I don't want a man that treats me right. I got a woman, right? All right. But I've heard ladies say that very thing. There's a difference between just, oh, agonizing or doing this. This is a totally different approach. Lord God, you know I've been faithful to you. Father, it is the desire of my heart to have a man in my life after your own heart that will honor you and will honor me and that will be on the same page, and God will truly function as one. Not, God, I want to date somebody that's really hot, right? God, I want a really, really cute girl. I want to, you know, it's not like that, is it? We need to be faithful in pursuing God's call out in our life. And you know what? He knows the desires of our hearts. When you don't have what you really want, God is what you really need. It's all about perspective. What we really need more than anything else in our lives is God. And some of us would say it with our lips that that's true, but we're not living it with our lives. See, to live it and to say it are different things. But when we live it and say it, and we're actually living what we say and practicing what we preach, you want to know what happens? Radical shifts start taking place in our life. And not only that, our life starts to impact the lives of other people all around us. People all around us discover God because we're living a life that is honoring him. Elijah replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all. All right. He doesn't say, you know what? Let me give you all this money, right? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you this coin, this coin, this coin. No, he says, how can I help you? He asks a question. It's an important question. There's people in life that will come at you and say, I need this, I need that, I need this. How can I help you? Well, their initial thought might be whatever that specific need is at the time. And they'll say, well, I need this, I need that, I need this. And the reality is, that's not at all what they really need. You see, what this widow really needed, your servant has nothing there at all. She didn't have much in her house at all, did she? Have you ever seen what people used to live in back then that didn't have a lot of money? It is like a mud shack. If you've ever been to a third world country and you've seen mud shacks, or if you've been maybe to Mexico and you've seen just tiny houses that multiple people live in that are made of whatever they can find along the side of the road, all right? But little mud shacks that are tiny. I know some of us go, well, you know, I have a 4-bedroom house with huge living room, and you know, and we are so insanely blessed in this country, and we forget it all the time. All the time. There are still countries in this world that people are living in small mud shacks. There are people living on the street corner. There's people in our country that are doing this. And we forget that we're blessed. And this particular woman, your servant has nothing there at all. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. You get that? You got that one? Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Instead of saying, oh God, if I only had this, then I could do this. If I only had that, then I could be this. If I only... No. Stop thinking like that. Please, we need to stop thinking like that. We need to stop waiting for what you want, and we need to start working with what we have. Because God has given you gifts, talents, abilities, and you may not even know it. That's why we talked about the spiritual gifts, and we went through the inventory, and so many of you came out those nights that we did it and worked through it together and discovered your gifts, and you're like, is that really me? Is that my personality type? Is that my gift? How do I utilize that in the community of faith? Well, we want you to be able to utilize that in the community of faith. And that spiritual gifts inventory, don't let it sit on the shelf. Don't let it be put in a recycle bin or something. Read that thing and think and process. How can I use these gifts, talents, and abilities in my personality type to impact the kingdom? This is something that's so important. A lot of times we focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. Let's focus on what we do have rather than what we don't. 2 Kings 4:2. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. You may not know too much about olive oil, but olive oil was something that was very, very important in this culture. Olive oil was something that you would utilize in many things, for baking, for medicine, like healing. If someone had super dry, they would rub it on the skin. They would use it in many, many different ways. And oil was cherished in this culture. Olive oil was very important. It was sustenance. And it was expensive. So, the only thing she had was a small jar of olive oil. That's it. That's all she had. Now, what does Elisha say to her? Well, he says a lot to her, but something we need to remember is this. Offer God what you have and trust Him to give you what you need. God, this is what I have. You know what I need. I am going to trust you with that. Joy, I'm going to use you as an example, okay? So I sent her a Facebook message. I was praying for she and her family. If you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I pray for you every week, by the way. All however many of you. There's over 1,000 people. I don't know how many there are, but I go through the list because it has a face and it has a name, and I go through that list and I pray for everybody on that list. And through those times of prayer, when I was praying specifically for Joy and her family, and I was praying, and God revealed to me, hey, you got to reach out to her. And I did, and I talked to her about, you know, coming down here sometime maybe. And anyway, what ended up happening is she came back from her school, got a new head. She didn't know what she was going to do, and she sent me the message, say, let's work something out. And she came down. She's hanging out with us at our house for this week, and then God, she didn't know where she was going to stay. So she comes down and didn't know she was going to get a job, didn't know what was going to happen. So she's here, just brings her bike, doesn't have a car, all right? So comes down and trusts God, and God provides a job and another job, and now a place to stay. How cool is that? That's a God thing. Write this one down. Take faith-filled risks to honor God. Take faith-filled risks to honor God. That's what you call a faith-filled risk. You step out in faith to honor God. You can talk to Stacy a little bit later and say, hey, have you guys ever taken any faith-filled risks to honor God? She'll go, only if you knew. Oh. You know, being married to me is quite an adventure. Being my mother is quite an adventure for her, too. You know how moms want to take care of their kids? If you, since it's Father's Day, if you're a dad and you really want to make sure your kids are okay, but us dads are a little tougher, we're like, just let them not eat any food for a couple weeks. See what they do then, right? No, fathers, I know. I'm just mad. Well, actually, we're kind of like that in some ways, right? But we want them, like, tough love. But moms are like, hey, it's okay. I'll give you some food. Right? Even though they're 35 years old. Feed the kid, right? Well, you see, offer God what you have and trust him to give you what you need. God, you know the gifts, the talents, the abilities that I have. You know how little I have, but God, I'm going to trust you with it. So this widow said, okay. Elijah said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Just doing that, did you know jars were worth money? So for not only did the widow have faith and trust that she could go and ask her neighbors, but those neighbors, the spirit must have fell on them or something, because they were open to giving them the jar, right? Saying, all right, here's the jar. Here's the jar. So she goes out and asks for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. She had the small jar of oil, and she kept pouring and kept pouring, and it kept pouring and it kept pouring and it kept pouring. Can you imagine what they're doing? What is going on? Woo! 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 Right? Can you imagine what's going on? What would you do? You have nothing except a small jar of oil and whatever you're wearing on your body, which wasn't much. And you have nothing in your house. Nothing. Nothing. You have a small jar of oil and you and your kids and whatever you're wearing. And this small jar of oil, it's your sustenance. You know that you can maybe make a little loaf of bread, but you can't. You don't really have anything to make bread. But you have the oil. And then you start, you just listen, you step in, out in faith, go ask for the jars, you come back, shut the door behind you, you do everything that this prophet says, and you put them all down, and you and your boys, you go, all right, I'm going to try this. I don't know what that guy's talking about, but I know my husband, I saw some miraculous things happen in his life, and even though he's not here anymore, I know God can do stuff, because I've seen him do stuff with me and my kids. So here we go. What's going to happen? Is it going to, right? And all of a sudden, that jar fills up and you go, wow. And your sons are like, oh, imagine the impact it had on those two kids. The kinsman redeemer had come, and Elisha was representing the kinsman redeemer. And he said, go. And these boys are listening to everything Elijah said. You may not have an Elijah in your life. You may not have a kinsman redeemer in your life. But you do have a kinsman redeemer in your life. Did you know you have a kinsman redeemer in your life? Even if you don't know you have a kinsman redeemer? Did you know that our God who art in heaven? Did you know our God who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Did you know that same God is in us through the Spirit? Do you know that God is living in us? We are in him. Christ is in us and we are in him. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But it's true. Like when we are in Christ, he can move in powerful ways. I love watching some people get uncomfortable when I walk down here. I've never been in a church like that. How dare he come down from up there behind that? Do you notice I don't stand behind that? Yes. Do you know I'm no better than any of you? See? If you know me well, you know, right? You know, none of us is better than anybody else. It's just a matter of how God is using our gifts, talents, and abilities. Did you know Elijah was no better than anybody else? But he was somebody that performed miraculous signs and wonders in incredible ways. Because he was faithful. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." So not only was she able to pay off her debts, not only was she able to do that, but she had such abundance that, what does it say? "You and your sons can live on what is left." Not only does she have enough to pay the debtors, but she and her sons can live on all that is left. Wow. God rewards our faithfulness. He blesses us when we step out in faith. When was the last time you trusted God and stepped out in faith? When was the last time that you said, "God, I'm going to trust you with this. I don't have a lot. I'm not the most talented, gifted person in the world, but I'm going to trust you to use me despite myself to glorify your holy name." You may say, "I've never really said that." Well, I hope we start saying that. There's some of us that are so hindered from what God has for us because of things that we continually do that are deterring us from God. And we can go through the gamut of those things. They could be habits. They could be addictions. They could be things that we don't even know it's a habit or addiction that is hindering us from what God has for us. We need to do a reflective look in the mirror of our spiritual life and examine ourselves. You know how a mechanic goes under a hood, but now they hook it up to a computer and the computer tells them what's wrong with the diagnostic test? We need to do spiritual diagnostic tests on our spiritual life. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. 2 Corinthians 4:7. This is talking about our body. Did you know this is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Did you know this is a jar of clay? That this is, we're being molded and shaped into, some of us are like, "I don't want to keep molding into what I'm turning into now." I used to be like, well, my body's a pear now. I used to be more apple-like. Now I'm pear-shaped, right? Well, that's not what it's talking about. It is talking about our, you know, we have treasures. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Do you know Christ is in us? Yes. That's the treasure in our jar of clay. That's the jar of clay. And we got that treasure. Wonder if we really have a ridiculous faith. Or if our faith is one that we've just created to feel comfortable. I wonder if our faith is one that we've just said we believe, but we really don't. May we be a people that step out in faith and trust God. And when it comes to the things that are hindering us, you may think you can't overcome those things. God can help you overcome whatever those things may be. Whether it be pride, selfish ambition, whether it be gluttony, whether it be addictions, whether it be stealing from God. Do you know we steal from God when we don't give to him first? Oh man, I can't believe he's touching on this now. God wants more from us. We know somebody's heart when we look at their checkbook or their debit card or their pocketbook or their wallet. Wherever that money goes, that is somebody's heartbeat. May we be people that step out in faith and honor God with our lives. Amen? Amen. Father, as we step away from this message for today, God, I ask, Lord, that some of it will stick to us, Lord, that those jars that this widow faithfully went out and collected, and she was with her two sons, God, and Lord, how you filled those jars with oil. So much so, God, that she was able to provide for her family in ways that she could never have imagined, God, as a single woman in a culture that wouldn't allow her to work unless she became a prostitute and sold her body. God, she wasn't willing to do that. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you that she wasn't willing to, and that she was willing to ask Elisha, and that we're able to see this amazing, beautiful example of a woman that had absolutely nothing except her two boys, and they were going to be taken from her. And God, she wasn't willing to sell herself, but she was only willing to surrender to you. God, may she be a beautiful example of what it means to be a follower of the way. May we honor you with our lives and be faithful servants of the way. And may we not get in the way of the way. In the name of Jesus, amen.